This is a podcast from the BBC.
This program contains language that you might find offensive.
You have been warned.
Hello, we're back with another Friday podcast.
Scott Mills. Chris's Friday Extra Show.
It's a particularly highbrow one today. We're going to be talking about toilets. We've got some unfinished business to settle. I know a few of you agreed on the show to do a trial run of going reverse cowboy, cowgirl on the toilet. So we're going to catch up with you to find out how that went. Of course, we're going to get through a load of your listener questions this week. Well, we're going to try. We haven't got long in the studio, as always. And of course, we're going to share some highlights from the show. But first up, let's start by speaking to Scott Mills. Oh, and before we speak to Scott, we did another game of Where Do You Think They Were? It's our favourite game that we do. It was proper cringe, though.
OK, so Courtney's on the line. She's about to find out where she was conceived from her mum, Becky, and dad, Nick. Good luck, Courtney.
Thank you.
Keep thinking of the birthday shout-out, OK?
I will do.
Just keep that in your mind at all times.
Oh, I'm so up for this today.
Right.
Cue the sexy music.
Talk us through in detail, please.
Well, it was a cold February night. We were in my dad's house, in my bedroom.
No. It weren't in your bedroom.
No, my parents were splitting up at the time, so we moved to my dad's bedroom.
Oh, Nick's already interrupting here.
All I was worried about was that my dad was listening as he was in the bedroom next door.
Okay, very interesting here. So, was it sort of early evening or was it...
No, it was later in the evening and for once Nick was allowed to stay over. I think it was just presumed that we would be watching TV. Mm.
Always interesting this, isn't it, when your parents let you stay over. If you're going out with someone... It's always the first time that you've got to go over to someone's house, right, Scott? And it's always tricky. Are we doing the separate rooms thing, or are we doing the sofa downstairs, or are we in the same room, but one on floor, one in bed? What was the situation? What were you actually... what were the arrangements there?
We were just going in the room to watch TV. That's all.
Yeah, so this was the original Netflix and chill. So back in the day for you...
Okay, let me just check on Courtney. Hang on, no one's checked. Courtney, how are you feeling?
A bit concerned that it was in my granddad's room.
What were you watching, Courtney's mum?
I don't think we even got as far as putting the TV on.
Oh, God.
No, because you would... Here's what I imagine happens, Scott. I imagine that they turn the TV on. Obviously, that takes a couple of minutes to load up, doesn't it?
It does in those days.
Yeah, because it needs to sort of... were up. That would have taken about 10 minutes.
Right, so what else do? You know what I mean?
Exactly. Can you describe then, Courtney's mum or dad, exactly what the room was like?
There wasn't really that much in the room, just a cupboard in the corner with a TV on it and a double bed and some wallpaper with tulips on the wallpaper.
Oh, lovely.
Sexy.
With matching bedding.
Okay, so you know that it happened on tulip bedding, Courtney, all right?
Okay, so where was Grandad then? He was in the room next door. Yeah.
Oh no.
Now Nick, what tactics did you deploy to keep quiet?
Yeah, I just kept taking saying to her, keep quiet, you know. And, it wasn't the first time, you know, that obviously we'd done this in that house with Dad downstairs or next door, so. We were probably getting quite good at it, being quiet.
All right, so,
Courtney?
I don't even know what to say.
BBC Radio 1.
Hello, Scott Mills.
Good afternoon, morning. Hi.
It's proving really difficult to get people to sign up to Where Do You Think They Were Now?
I know. Do we need to do, like, some kind of, like begging or something?
We can beg, or we can ask people who are listening to this right now to either apply or find a friend who has a birthday coming up, and then maybe they can apply.
Yeah, the thing is, we really want to continue this feature, but I understand that as features go, it is quite a hard ask, because you do have to hear some fairly intimate details from your parents of where you were made. But there is a bonus. You do get an amazing birthday shout out from some of your favourites. You tell us who you want and we will try and get a message for your birthday from them, okay?
Yeah, and I think this just can't come down to us trying to find people. Like, I don't know if people listening to this have noticed, but we keep asking for people to apply on the show. We've done this several times this week, and we've actually had to do it more this week than we've had to before, because everyone's learning about the feature. they know it's, you know, it's a tough thing to get involved in.
And then sometimes between, like this is a bit of extra insight, which you only get on this extra podcast. What happens is we'll call the people and they'll be like, yeah, I'm up for it. And then their parents might be like, actually, no. So there's a lot of hurdles here. But if you have a cool parent and you think it would be a laugh to be on, it is a bit of lighthearted fun, really. So it's not, I know that it actually feels worse than it actually is, I think.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
So get in touch with us. Email scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. And we will make you have a fantastic birthday for just a few minutes of... just uncomfortable listening, really, from your parents. But it's not that bad. And a lot of the people that have been on the show have been actually, like, it's been quite, like, they've all been laughing along with it. And the mums, some of the mums are like, yeah, I'm up for it. It'd be funny. So if you're the kind of family that doesn't get embarrassed by things like that, then this is for you, I think.
Yeah, we're looking for the types of families here that will go and watch The Inbetweeners together. And happily sit there whilst there is a sex scene on the TV.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So where are you right now?
I am in a taxi going to Elstree Studios to do some interviews at Strictly again, like I do most Fridays.
Yeah. Normally when we speak to you on a Friday, you're there talking to the Strictly Come Dancing people.
Yeah, can you not emphasise that as much? Because I don't think they like it.
We went on Grimmy's show this week and we had to do a game that he's come up with where we had to decide what we were the ones for. So there's these jingles at Radio 1 that goes like, for Greg James, it says the one for waking up. And with Grimmy, it's the one for driving home. So Grimmy's game was that he's going to list a load of celebrities, and he spoke about us as well, but list a load of celebrities. And he's got to say, we've got to work out which one they're the one for, if that makes sense. Now, one of the ones we talked about was Sean Walsh.
Yeah.
And I thought we were particularly honest on that one there. And I'm now concerned that you're heading to Strictly Come Dancing and you might bump into him.
It's Strictly Come Dancing, by the way, not Strictly Come Dancing, okay?
Yeah.
I'm heading that way. It depends whether Sean heard it or not. I mean, we weren't unkind. I mean, I think we just spoke the truth.
We weren't unkind, but we were talking about him necking on with dancers.
Yeah, but you said that, not me. So,
so that's okay then.
Yeah, I think I'm fine.
In case you missed this, because it was on Grimmy Show, I did point out that Sean Walsh is the one for getting off with dancers. which we all know, but it's kind of controversial because it's a very unstrictly thing to say, and you're not really allowed to talk about that. It's kind of talked about in papers and stuff and online, but you're not allowed to talk about it if you work for the BBC.
I can't possibly comment, but if you want lots of Strictly stuff, then get to the official Strictly Come Dancing podcast.
You'll
love it. It's really good.
You're going to say that accidentally when you're having to record one of the adverts for it. And I want to see it on the TV. They're going to be like, and for all the backstage gossip, join Scott Mills and Amy Elizabeth with the Strictly Come Dancing podcast.
Don't, because I'm nearly there. It's in my head now.
I think this week's been another good week on the show. I know we say it every week, but I think things are good. And to give people a little bit of an insight, we've got a new production team that work on the show. So there's new people that are involved. Mm. And I think it's fair to say, whenever there's a new production team involved in the show, there's always like a new energy is the wrong way to put it, because it suggests that the others weren't as energetic, but they bring new ways of doing things.
Yeah, and it's just different, you know, it's just in terms of production, for all you geeks out there, it's just a different person's brain on it, you know, and that's not a bad thing. So we've got two very good new people, Will the producer and Jess the assistant producer, and we're all having a lovely time, and it's nice to have a like, you know, people have, obviously everyone has different ideas, and I'm really enjoying it at the moment.
Yeah, it is interesting getting different brains on it. So like, for example, good example from this week would be perfume stuff that we've been doing. Now, when I first heard about this potential idea, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't mad keen on it. I couldn't really see where it was going.
But I could tell.
It's ended up being so, so funny.
Yeah. So on Monday's show, we've got a man whose job is to sniff out different smells, perfumes. He works for a company that make them, and he's basically their head nose, and his name's Francois, obviously French, And we've named him Francoise the Nose because that's his job, to sniff things and make sure that they get the right combinations of different smells for their perfumes.
Yeah.
So we're going to make him sniff shit on Monday.
We'll make him sniff shit. Yeah, we should actually make him sniff shit.
No, that's not. But
I'll tell you why, Scott, because the whole gimmick we're getting Francois the Nose in is that he can describe smells in a way none of us can. So if we were to say, and we've been using this example a lot, smell some new tennis balls because that smells amazing, it's very hard for us to explain what that smell is. We just go, oh, it smells like tennis balls.
How do you explain that smell? That's the thing. How do you explain the smell of air conditioning? How do you explain the smell of, I don't know, sewage? Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
We'll give him a few things to try and he'll be able to do it like they do when you go to like the perfume counter in the shops. It's like, there's different hints of vanilla there. There's the essence of patchouli, maybe a little bit of bergamot and the top notes are all that stuff, you know?
That's the thing. So we'll get Francois the Nose in on Monday. Very, very excited for that.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Very quickly, before we leave you, I've got great news for you. So a man called Tony Wood, who I've yet to explain to everyone who he is going to appear on today's podcast.
You are joking me.
No. So do you want to explain to everyone listening right now why we need someone called Tony Wood coming on the show?
Okay. Well, I'm guessing it's because of the various technical errors that I experienced yesterday with the Radio 1 phone lines. And I lost my mind yesterday at one point during the show because about five or six times the phone calls just weren't good enough quality. And it's the one thing, apart from my microphone settings, that grinds my gears. And it's no fault of Tony's. He's a very busy man, and I just like you to tell him that and pass on that this is not a personal thing. But why don't they work?
So Scott had the nearest thing I've seen to a meltdown from Scott Mills on yesterday's show. And this was obviously when the phones weren't working very well. But actually, as a little bit of an insight, this is something that's been going on quite a while on our show.
You know, every workplace has their little the little things that annoy you, like we all have it, and that's my one at the moment. And I apologise, but it has been going on a while. And yesterday, it all came to a head.
There was one moment as well, which was wonderful, where the phone, someone was on the phone and it started getting really crackly. It was like, and it was all cutting out. And you just looked at me and then threw your hands up in the air and it sort of threw your pen.
Well, so it was like, what's the point?
And
what's the point?
You just stopped talking. So there was 60 seconds of me talking utter shit whilst you just sort of looked there annoyed.
I just gave up. And then like, there was another phone call that like I went to them and they weren't there. They dropped off the line. I was like, what is the point?
Oh, he's gone. What are the chances? Oh, the phone's broken.
Why
Sorry,
doesn't it
Scott,
work?
you just broke up. It was a bad time for it to happen.
Oh, my God. Well, there we are. Fix it.
So Tony Wood is going to be on the podcast. This is
That's
guy
amazing.
Who is head of operations for BBC Radio. and basically the guy who we would say is in charge of the phones. He'll be on.
And he's agreed to this, has he?
He's agreed to come on. So
don't push him because he's a man under a lot of pressure sometimes.
I know, and he's a powerful
don't
man.
Don't push
here.
His button. He's a very he runs that show. Yeah, do not annoy him.
All right then. All right. Okay. Well, I'll do my best
also,
to represent your views.
Thank you. Yeah, put my case forward. Also, I just like to say, and this has made me sound like an absolute diva. I'm not. There's just like I'm actually very easy to work with and very unassuming and kind as a presenter, but there's just a couple of things that make my blood actually boil, and this is one of them. Thank you.
Here's the thing. This isn't about you. This is about the listener experience, and you want everyone to be able to hear what's going on the show in the finest quality.
Just want it to sound good, Chris, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, brother. All right, then. Well, look, it's good catching up. I'll see you on Monday. Have a lovely weekend.
Right. You too.
And
I'll see
love
you
to the cum dancing people.
Oh, I'm coming round yours on Monday, by the way. You didn't know that yet, did you?
You what? My house?
Yeah. When? I'm going to come back with you on Monday.
Are you?
Yeah, to see Ashley, yes.
Who arranged that?
I'll just arrange it now, if that's okay.
Okay, fine. Yeah, yeah.
Ashley's
a mutual friend of...
Sorry to let you know on the
podcast. Okay, right, we're doing this now. In case you're wondering, Ashley's a mutual friend of ours.
I haven't had time to text you yet, but that's happening.
Right then. Cheers, Scott.
See ya. Bye.
This is great. We'll just make all arrangements happen on the podcast from here on in. All right, next up. One. This is so good. I love that we've been able to do this. Okay, so from everything you've just heard from Scott there about his little, should we call it a meltdown, it's good that we can now put this to the guy who's kind of in charge of all the technical stuff here at Radio 1. He's head of operations. The guy's called Tony Wood. He's a real legend here. And we're going to bring him in on the podcast right now. Hello, Tony Wood.
Hello, Chris.
So Scott has these little meltdowns, but then I think it's fair to say he is a perfectionist with these things. I think what he wanted me to pass on to you was that he only wants it to be crystal clear so that everyone can hear it and it's perfect quality. And as we know, phones can be rubbish. You know, you can be in certain parts of the UK and you can't get a signal. But we've just got to do everything we can to make the phones the best in the world here.
Oh, completely. I mean, I think the good thing to go back to Scott with is that I heard very clearly his complaints on air. So there was no problem with quality there. So that's something to hold on to. But I think that the we're actually doing a bit of work in the background to try and sort out the quality of the phone lines for Radio 1. So, you know, a bit of unsung hero activity going off in the background, which I'm sure Scott will be front and centre with the congratulations as and when it's improved.
Absolutely. Speaking of unsung hero, not many people will know this, but you've actually won the sort of internal BBC Awards unsung hero now for, what is it, about 20 years? So do you think it's about time that we could argue that you're not actually unsung?
I mean, just to clarify things, I won it once and I wish I hadn't, to be honest.
Thing is about you, Tony, you like working in the background, don't you? It's been, we had to kind of persuade you to come on to this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
But I really like that you wanted to explain things to people. There was one theory going that the phones weren't working on Friday because a mouse had chewed through one of the wires. So two questions. Is that true?
It's not true.
That's not true. And two, is the rumours about a mouse on the eighth floor here at Radio 1 true?
There's definitely some vermin activity.
Is there?
Up here. Yeah.
But how does that work? Because even being at Radio 1 here, we're sort of a box inside a box inside a box inside a box. Like, how is that? And we're on the eighth floor, so how's that happening? Is it taking the lift?
Well, I was going to say security's pretty tight as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So how it got in? No, I think what it is a lot of rodents manage to creep inside buildings. It's quite commonplace, but we did have a sighting of a mouse in the live lounge.
Really?
Not performing, I've got to say, but was in the live lounge. That problem has gone away, but only earlier this week, another mouse was spotted in one of the meeting rooms
right up
here.
So are we worried about live lounge mouse, as we're going to call it, given that live lounge month is coming up? And are we worried about having some of the world's biggest artists in the live lounge and, you know, a mouse appearing out of nowhere?
Yeah, I think it'd be wrong for me to say it wasn't a concern.
This is great. Your job's the best. Isn't this great that this is the concern at Radio 1? It's that a mouse might just interrupt whoever is doing Live Lounge Month.
Well, I think people have different reactions to things like mice. And, you know, particularly during what might be a meaningful and heartfelt performance.
Absolutely.
Leaping up onto a chair in the event of a mouse just waltzing across. And the mice that we've had here have got a lot of bravado. They just waltz out. They're not bothered about whether someone might hit them with a rolled up newspaper or
no,
something.
No, but that's it. They're some of the best mice around, I reckon, because to get to Radio 1, you've really got to work hard in the sense of being a DJ or in your profession, but also if you're a mouse, because, you know, physically getting into the studios here on the eighth floor is quite impressive. Well, they were so good on them in a way.
Yeah, they probably plied their trade in hospital radio.
Yeah, and then worked their way up.
to be working around the studios up here on the eighth floor, just like, you know, we've all had to get here in some way.
Yeah.
They should be forced to do the same kind of progression.
We once did a prank, which I don't think we ran past you, because everything that we do on the show, we kind of have to run past you. But we did one, I think, where we had a remote-controlled rat. I don't know if we ever had to do like a risk assessment or anything like that. And Ed Sheeran was performing in the live lounge. And the idea was that I would have this rat that would just go out in front of him and would see what happened. But the rat arrived. I ordered it off Amazon. And the rat had sort of light up red eyes. It was really obviously not a rat. And so we got this rat. Also, you couldn't steer it. So even when you went press forward on it, it would go off at all angles. But anyway, I managed to direct this thing roughly in the direction of Ed Sheeran, and he took one look at it and just kicked it across the live lounge. But did make for an interesting video, which was Ed Sheeran kicks rat in live lounge. Everything's a headline, Tony, you know? It's what we've always got to be careful about.
Yeah, any publicity is good publicity, Chris.
Well, yeah, you say that. And Tony, I know that we're your favourite show here as well.
Absolutely, 100%.
And so we appreciate
yeah.
your support and everything.
Yeah, I if you speak to your previous producers over the years, they'll all testify that I've always said to them that in my opinion, that is the best show on the network.
Come on! Tony Wood's favourite show. We'll take it. Tony, thanks so much for talking to us.
Thanks
today.
For having me, Chris.
Nice one, mate. All right, we're going to go really highbrow now. One of the most bizarre talking points we had on the show this week was around toilet habits. I always love to imagine what people are like when they're listening here at the BBC to some of the stuff we do on Radio 1. There's these lifts here where Radio 1 gets played into, and sometimes I cringe at the thought of our bosses or like the head of the BBC being in the lift at a time where we're talking about certain things. This was definitely one of those topics. And what we were talking about was how you sit on the toilet and unusual toilet habits. And you'd be amazed how people differ. You think it's just a standard procedure. It's not. Everyone is different when it comes to the toilet. I suggested that there would be people listening to the show and probably listening to this podcast right now that have never realised that you're meant to sit on a toilet facing the door, and that actually they would be sitting on the toilet in a sort of reverse cowboy, reverse cowgirl position. And I was right. Loads of people got in touch to say that's exactly what they do. A lot of people were on saying they do it as a treat, but a lot of people were also buzzing about the idea of going home and trying reverse cowboy or cowgirl that night. So we thought on the podcast right now we could catch up with a few of you to find out how it was for your first time. Jason, apparently you wanted to go reverse cowboy.
Yes.
Did you give it a go?
I tried it. You're not for me, I don't think.
No. I do like the idea that everyone has given this a go, though. There was loads of people in their offices yesterday who I think just used the chance for a bit of a Thursday break in their working day to go reverse cowboy on the toilet. It is a weird one, but I think some people actually do that just as standard.
What I found most difficult was, I don't quite know how to put this. When you go, you normally take your bottoms down to your ankles. That's not possible in that position.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what? It's so funny you mention this, because we were talking about this in the studio. Didn't end up talking on Radio 1 about this, but that actually the logistics involved would mean that you'd have to put your legs so, if you kept your trousers on and everything, you'd have to put your legs so far behind that it would look completely ridiculous, and you'd have to have the dexterity of a gymnast.
Or against the wall.
Yeah. Well, it's lovely to know, Jason, that you tried it.
Yeah, I got some odd looks from the girlfriend.
Oh, so you told your girlfriend that this was what you were planning?
No, she walked in.
She walked in, and what was her first thought?
I'm not sure I'm allowed to say it on the radio, am I?
Yeah, I mean, weird if you catch your partner doing that. But then I suppose you could just blame us, couldn't you?
I did do. The first question was, are you broken?
It's a good first question.
Yeah.
Well, Jason, it's lovely to catch up. We wanted to catch up with someone that had given it a go last night. So
right.
it sounds to me that it's not really a game changer for you, just a one-off treat.
Yeah, I think I will be using it as a treat. Yeah.
Cheers for catching us up, Jason.
All right, thanks for the call.
Cheers, man. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, it's my favourite part of the podcast, and it's hearing from you guys. Always feel free to get in touch with us, whether you email scott.mills@bbc.co.uk or drop me a message on Twitter or Instagram. I know I said I'd taken a break from Instagram, but I'll occasionally check the messages. I've just got to avoid being drunk and putting terrible videos on there. But the whole point is we want to answer your questions honestly. Anything about Radio 1, the show, anything you want to know technically or behind the scenes, just let us know and we can answer your questions. All right, let's do this. Hello, Emily.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yep, very good. Welcome to the Friday podcast. What is it you'd like to ask?
I wanted to know, when you're on air, can you see live listener numbers? And if you can, do you ever notice a drop when you play certain songs or certain artists or anything?
Well, we can't see how many people are listening, but you kind of get a feel from it from the amount of texts or tweets that you get sent into the show. And we do certain things on the show that you can tell people find really, really funny. So let's say we do one of our games called Funny Business, where we ring up a business that's got a rude name. When we do that, we tend to get loads and loads of messages off the back of it, which shows that I think it shows that people like that feature. But no, there's nothing in front of us. There's not like one big number which shows how many people are listening. But I believe they figure out listener numbers by getting a sample of the population of the whole of the UK to fill out a diary of their listening habits. So obviously they say what radio station they listen to or what they're watching on TV. And then it's worked out by multiplying that by the population of the UK. And that's how they work out listener figures. I've never really looked into it in that much detail, though.
Oh, that's really interesting. Thank you for answering.
Yeah, all good. Well, thanks for getting in touch.
No problem. Thank you.
Nice one, Emily. Cheers.
Bye.
All right, bye. All right, I think we've got time for another question. Hello, Tom.
Hi.
Hi. What did you want to ask, Tom?
So I was just wondering what you and Scott do when you're not on air. Do you hang out in an office and do research until 5 o'clock and then wait for the clock to tick over and go home? Like, what happens outside of the room?
Yeah, well, generally after the show, if me and Scott are going to have a catch up, we go to the pub and we have a couple of drinks, and that's where we come up with most of the ideas for the show, if I'm being honest. But before the show, generally we've got a couple of hours where we discuss ideas with the team. We might try record a couple of things. We might do some interviews, because sometimes we don't do the interviews live on the show. Sometimes we do them before the show so they can be edited all nicely, and
yeah,
sometimes fits in with other people's timings for it to be a bit more practical, you know? Even though we have a lot of fun doing the show, there is a bit of a kind of organisational side. I'm not going to lie, the team do most of it, but we do chip in when we can.
Cool, yeah, because I listen to the show obviously every day, and I'm sat in an office listening away, and it kind of went through my mind. I was wondering if you guys did the same. So.
Yeah, well, look, best of luck with everything, and always feel free to get in touch, all right, mate?
Nice one.
Cheers. Nice one, Tom. Cheers, pal.
See ya.
Bye, then. One! You know what, we're out of time. There's someone outside the studio. Once again, I don't feel we've got through as many of your questions as we would have liked. We'll try again next week. Hope you enjoyed this Friday podcast. We go again. We'll be back next week with the Scott Mills Show. Have a great weekend. See you later. Bye.